The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 15, texts number 1 and 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on September 13th, 2009, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 15. King Prithu's appearance and coronation. Texts 1 and 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maitreya Uvacha. Ata tasya punar viprayar. Aprutasya mahipate. Pahyubhyam matyamana bhyam. Itanang samapajyata. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, thus the Brahmins and the great sages again churned the two arms of King Vena's dead body. As a result, a male and female couple came out of his arm. Text 2. Tad Drishtva Mitunam Jatam Rishaya Brahmavadina Uchu Padama Santushta Viditva Bhagavat Kalam Tad Drishtva Mitunam Jatam Rishayo Brahmavadina Uchu Parama Sanktushta Viditva Bhagavat Kalam Tat That Drishtva Seeing Mitunam Couple Jatam Born, Rishaya, the great sages, Brahmavadina, very learned in Vedic knowledge, Uchu, said, Padama, very much, Santushta, being pleased, Viditva, knowing, Bhagavat, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kalam, expansion. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great sages were highly learned in Vedic knowledge. When they saw the male and female born of the arms of Vena's body, they were very pleased, for they could understand that the couple was an expansion of a plenary portion of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The method adopted by the great sages and scholars who were learned in Vedic knowledge was perfect. They removed all the reactions of King Vena's sinful activities by seeing that King Vena first gave birth to Bahuka, described in the previous chapter. After King Vena's body was thus purified, a male and female came out of it, and the great sages could understand that this was an expansion of Lord Vishnu. This expansion, of course, was not Vishnu Tattva, but a specifically empowered expansion of Lord Vishnu known as Advesha.
Oh.
Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. Vritva. These Brahmins are highly learned. They can understand this was plenary portion of Vishnu. No one announced it to them, but yet they could understand it. So, when one becomes highly advanced in Krishna consciousness, then one gains deep understanding of what's going on. What's going on in the spiritual world, what's going on in the material world. Sarvasya cha aham hridisana vishto matak smatir gyanam apohanam cha. Krishna says, I am seated in the heart of all living entities, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So by the grace of Krishna, one can know what's going on. One can understand things. And one has to qualify oneself. And the material scientists are very proud of their knowledge, so-called knowledge. Empirical science, analyzing the data. They're very proud of the so-called science. What do they know? What do they really know? Some theory comes into being for some time, it's very popular, and then it's replaced by another one. They call it science. We call it nescience. I attended one time in Gainesville, Florida, a big, big scientific seminar in the evening time. All the science students from all the science classes, they came to hear one big, big PhD telling about the black holes in outer space. There must have been 3,000 people in that room. It was a huge gathering. And finally, after telling us all about the black holes in outer space, the learned professor, he asked if there was any question. So I raised my hand. I was there in a saffron robe with a shaved head, Brahmachari. I raised my hand and I said, is what you're saying, is this a theory or a fact? He said, I think it's a fact. Not the word I think, you see. Anyway, a few more questions came in. Again, I got recognized to ask another one. I asked what's called a loaded question. I didn't do it on purpose, but it came out that way. Throughout the history of modern science, we have seen that one theory comes into popularity for some time, and then it is replaced by another theory. So, how do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? Notice I'm calling it a theory. If he answers the question directly, he's already defeating his first answer, and he fell for it. He said, I hope it is, because then we'll be making progress. I hope it is defeated. So just see the rascal. They're accepting it as gospel truth, and now he's admitting when it's shown to be wrong, that will be the progress of science. You see. So what is this science? Whoever is the biggest razzle-dazzler, you know, who can give the most fancy, you know, explanation of reality with all kinds of facts and figures supposedly to support his theory, you see, he's accepted as the leading scientist. This is not science, this is simply foolishness. The Vedic wisdom does not change. Vedashtacharavairaham eva vejo vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. See, the Vedic wisdom is solid, you see. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. The Vedic wisdom remains perpetually. They want to know how old your scriptures are. Actually, our scriptures are timeless. They exist beyond time. We can say 5,000 years old, but you know it was spoken millions of years ago to the Sun God. And then before that, you see, this is timeless wisdom. There's no beginning point in time. The Vedic wisdom exists beyond the constraints of time. It's timeless wisdom. So, how to realize that timeless wisdom in the Vedas? You see, how to become Viditva, as the word is given here in the verse. How to become knowledgeable. Yasya deve para bhaktir, tata deve tata guru, tasyaite katita hyarta prakarshanti mahatmana. Svetashvatara Upanishad. Only unto those great souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Sri Guru and the words of Krishna, only unto them is the Vedic knowledge revealed, the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. So if you would like to realize this Vedic wisdom, then you have to put your faith in Guru and Krishna. That's the injunction of the Svetashvatana Upanishad. If you don't put your faith in Guru and Krishna, you are nowhere. You remain a follower of these speculators. You'll never gain the actual knowledge of what is the origin of all existence. You see. If you want to get to know a person intimately, how do you do that? By studying about him? No. If you want to intimately know someone, then you have to have a loving relationship with that person. That's the only way. Not just by reading about him, you know. Just like all the fans of the movie stars, they get these movie star magazines and they read all about what their favorite star was doing, you know. They never have intimate knowledge of their favorite movie star. Just studying facts and figures. So they went to this nightclub on Monday and that nightclub on Tuesday. Of course, it's not worth knowing such a person. But to actually be a personal friend, you see. have a loving relationship with that great person. That's how you actually know them. That's how you can intimately know someone, is by a loving relationship. So if you want to know Krishna, reading books is a good beginning, but now you have to actually see, jnana alone will not save you. You have to have bhakti also. You will not actually realize these concepts described in the scriptures unless you have bhakti. The Mayavadis are very expert in quoting Shastra, but they don't understand the essence of Shastra because they kill bhakti spirit by saying that God has no form, He has no personality. Avyaktim avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyate mam buddhaya panang bhava majanantam amamyam manuttamam. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this form and personality. Due to their small knowledge, they don't know my higher nature, which is unchangeable and supreme. If one wants to gain actual knowledge, you only do that by love. Intimate knowledge of God only comes for those who love God. The bhakti yogis, you see. They are the only ones with intimate knowledge of God. Everyone else is on the periphery. They're on the border. You know, they're very expert. Their penances and austerities, and they attain Sayuja Mukti. They simply float temporarily in the spiritual sky. They cannot enter the spiritual planets to actually witness Krishna's Leela. Just like you can fly in an airplane over Denmark, you see. But if you're not allowed to land, how much you can understand Denmark? You see. So the Mayavadi, if he's perfect in his impersonal Brahman liberation, he can fly temporarily in the sky of Brahman. But patanti, you know, he falls down again after due course of time. Those, only those who actually have love for that Supreme Person can know him, actually know him. He remains a mystery for everyone else. The Christians, they say they love God, but they're killing the cows. How much can you love God if you're killing the cows? And what is their knowledge of God? They think he's an old man with a beard. You see. So if you want actual knowledge of God, then you must develop love for God. Bhaktam ham nabi janati yavanya shtatsmi tattavtaha. One can know me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of God, and only by devotional service. And when one is situated in this way, then he can enter into the kingdom of God. There's no other way to get into the kingdom of God except by devotional service. You can't do it by brute force. Not possible. Krishna is too powerful. You can never force your way into Goloka Vrindavan. Not possible. We have to be humble. Humble servants of Krishna, of Guru and Vaishnavas. That's how we will gain access to Krishna. That's how we will gain access to the spiritual world. Humble servants of Guru, Krishna and Vaishnavas. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
Is it possible to develop love No?
What is that verse? Name bhakta, name bhakta, chine, let's see, name bhakta, jana parata, name bhakta, stite jana. No, ye me bhakta, jana parata, name bhakta, stite jana, mad bhaktanam, chaye bhakta, steme bhakta, tamamata. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Adi Purana, you're my devotee, you're not my devotee. Ye me bhakta jana partha na me bhakta. You're not my devotee, you see. If you're my devotee, you're not my devotee. But if you're the devotee of my devotee, then you're my devotee. So you have to learn how to love the devotees. Otherwise, Krishna will never accept you. Prabhupada always quoted the English saying, if you love me, love my dog. He said, Guru, he is dog of Krishna. He is Krishna's dog. So love the spiritual master. That's how you gain access to Krishna. If you love the spiritual master. That's how Prabhupada started this movement. We loved Prabhupada. We loved him. He was so wonderful. He was so wonderful. We never saw such a person as Srila Prabhupada. Everyone loved him. That's what held the movement together, you see. We all loved Prabhupada.
No.
That doesn't work because Narottam says, as I many times have quoted, Ananda Hari Bolo, what is it? Bhaja Vrindavan, Shri Guru, Vaishnava Pade, Majayaman. Worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnava. The spiritual master doesn't like disciples who just want to serve him and they say, hell with these devotees. He doesn't like such devotees. They're a disturbance for his spiritual master. Someone who creates who has enmity towards the Vaishnavas is not very much pleasing to the spiritual master. He wants to see devotees who have loving relationships with the devotees. That pleases him, you see. Actually, I remember there was one devotee, one of my godbrothers. He was very inimical towards all the devotees. And actually, he wasn't very surrendered to Prabhupada either. But he went into Prabhupada, he was complaining about this, complaining about that, complaining. You know what Prabhupada told him? He said, just go earn money and enjoy. In other words, get out of this movement. Prabhupada was so much disturbed by his attitude. He was finding fault with everything. He said, GBC means got a big chip. Chip on the shoulder means a grudge. He said, GBC, as the first person I ever heard criticize the GBC was this boy. In those days, no one criticized the GBC. And Prabhupada glorified the GBC, and we all respected the GBC. But here was one person who criticized the GBC. Prabhupada told him, get out. You know, go earn money and enjoy. So, yeah. If you want to love the spiritual master, you have to love the devotees also. Yeah.
What are the ways of exchanging the love between devotees?
Those are given by Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita. There's a very nice verse there, which describes six items. You give gifts to the devotees. When devotees give you a gift, you graciously accept it, happily accept their gift. You serve prasadam to the devotees, like during the prasadam time, you can serve prasadam to the devotees, or you can accept the prasadam, the devotees serve you, and you can reveal your mind to the devotees, and be open-minded when they want to reveal their mind to you. You see? In this way, these six loving exchanges are given by Rupa Goswami. Well, you have to balance it, that's all. You have some time when you can hear lectures, you have some time when you share realizations with the devotees. You have to balance it, that's all. Everybody has a right to their private study time, you know. At the same time, you have to have reciprocation. What are you realizing in your studies? You can share that with your devotees, you see. There should be a balance there.
Is it that the brahmacharis who don't earn shouldn't give presents?
Huh?
The brahmacharis?
Ah, well, it depends on what it is. Yeah, sometimes it's not very practical.
Sometimes.
No, it depends on what it is. It's something you can use. Somebody gives you an iPod, I mean, brahmachari could use that. You know. Even I experience as a traveling spiritual master, somebody, I give gifts, sometimes it is totally useless. I have to just give it to somebody else, you know. But if I can use something, then I keep it and use it. So I can remember that person's service. You see.
So it's better to accept it even if you don't like it and to give it to somebody else who might need it.
Yeah, you can always give the gift to someone else. I wouldn't do it right away. I mean, you know, try not to offend somebody. You know. When I give it to someone else, I wait till I go to a different city. You know. Someone gives me a gift, and it's totally impractical. I mean, when, because this is being recorded, I don't want to give any examples. Yeah, but you have to always try to appreciate the love of the devotees, you know. It's important. Some of the devotees try to be kind to you. You have to be sensitive and appreciate their kindness. It could be service. Then there'd be a physical gift. If someone renders you service, that's also a gift, you see. Someone offers to help you with something. I remember in our Dallas temple years ago, we used to have a rule that every devotee had to serve another devotee once a day. That was the rule. Do something for another devotee. Wash their laundry for them, or, you know, iron their kurta. Every devotee should do service for another devotee every day. That was one of the policies we had in the temple. You know, that kind of a mood where devotees are serving each other. It's very nice. So that's another way of giving gifts. Give your time to help some, to serve more. For a brahmachari, that's maybe very practical.
Is it that by this exchange between the devotees, we learn how to exchange love so that we can later exchange love with the Supreme God?
Yes, by learning how to love the devotees, then you're, because they are representatives of Krishna, then your love for Krishna will naturally awaken. Naturally. That's why this movement is a very nice facility, ISKCON, you see. By serving these devotees, you will become naturally Krishna conscious. Yes.
We have distributed many of Prabhupada's books.
We have Prabhupada's books.
Distributed.
Distributing Prabhupada's books.
We have distributed in Denmark and many places.
Yes, we've distributed.
Now, yeah, we have in the past and also now. Not so many people come and join us. And we have some devotees here who have started some personal courses in personal development and some cleaning up, understanding something about tantras and cleaning up the mind and the body. And then they make use of introduction courses after that. And it is a little new to me, and I would like to hear from you. Is that desirable and as a part?
Not so desirable. If somebody can do that and preach by doing it, that's all right. But actually, Prabhupada would never say that, you know, we have to do all these different, you know, have classes on the, you know, train people to be Reiki masters and tell them about Krishna when we're training them in Reiki, you know. Prabhupada wouldn't like that. Thing is, actually the books are out there and they're, you'd be surprised. We can't expect them, you see, in the Kali Yuga, they don't come to the temples. This is not the age for temple worship. If you go out and preach, you'll find the people out there reading the books and just doing it on their own independently. There's so many people right now that got those books who are reading them. They're just too shy to come to the temple or too lazy. But on their own, they're reading Prabhupada's books. It's happening. Those books are not wasted. They're acting. So you have to find a... That's why going out and preaching, going out and distributing more books and doing Harinam, Prasadam distribution is very important. Because you'll find that there's people out there who are already reading the books. So they're not going to come to the temple yet, but they love the books, and if you give them they'll be happy to take another one too. Yeah.
In Riga, the Indranidya Prabhu is doing that, like introducing classes on Vedic culture.
Yeah, well, that's more direct. He's teaching. They have classes on the Vedic culture. That's a very good program. They don't teach like Reiki or something like that. They teach Vedic culture, you know, study Vedic culture, academic. But it's so Krishna, you know, it's so connected with Krishna consciousness, and people become devotees out of that course. So there are ways to bridge the cultural gap without completely compromising our philosophy, to teach psychology or this or that. You know, which is, it's just, I'm not so keen on these different things. But there are devotees are successfully doing them in different ways. And they're having some success. So I have to just say, judge by the result, ultimately. In Australia and New Zealand, they are doing these kind of programs. So they call it loft preaching. So they teach yoga classes. It's devotees are doing the whole thing. They have like a whole different center. They teach yoga, and they teach, I don't know what all they teach. And they argue that they're having good success, and devotees even join the temple from their program and become regular pujaris and book distributors. So I would just say, judged by the result, I think it was well summarized by our departed godbrother, His Holiness Sridhar Swami. He said, it's okay to come in like a needle as long as you come out like a plow. If you go in like a needle, you come out like a needle, you're just wasting your time, you know. He summarized it very well in that statement. So, and I know Tamal Krishna Maharaj in China had a very successful Hatha Yoga course in making the Chinese into devotees. It was very successful. He designed the whole course. It was, you know, they were chanting, as part of their yoga practice, they were doing a little mantra yoga, and it was all designed by him, how to gradually bring them into Krishna consciousness, and it worked quite well. So it really depends who's doing it and how expert they are in doing it in such a way that they can actually make people devotees. But I've seen where it's being done in a way, it's a very botched way. In Germany, I went to one town, devotee had a yoga center, teaching Hatha Yoga. Not one person from his class wanted to hear my lecture. Not one person. So, you know, I understood he's wasting his time. He's not doing it the right way to make them devotees.
We see that very often.
Huh?
I mean, like you're saying, you have to see that the result.
Yeah, they have to be result. I know in New Zealand, Australia, they are getting results from doing that. They're getting very good results. Devamita Swami is behind them, and they are getting very good results to him. They have full-on devotees out there distributing books and, you know, doing pujari work, regular initiated devotees coming out of that program. So it's just a matter of how it's done. But personally, I in terms of what I'm going to do, how I'm going to spend my time in preaching, straight preaching. I try to preach in the most attractive and powerful way, because Prabhupada didn't resort to any other techniques like them. He was very successful. So I figure if I can get Prabhupada's mercy, I don't need to do anything else except just straight preaching. That's my style, straight preaching. You know, we have nothing to be embarrassed. Some devotees don't want to be seen in a dhoti or a sari with tilak on. You know? I mean, the way I look at it is, Krishna consciousness is cool. It's really cool. It's nothing more cool than Krishna consciousness. So I'm not embarrassed by being, you know, a Hare Krishna member. I mean, God himself became a Hare Krishna, you know. Lord Chaitanya, he joined the Bhakta program, Bhakta Avatar. If God himself joined the Bhakta program, you see. If God himself became a Hare Krishna devotee, what could be more cool than being a Hare Krishna devotee? I don't think we have anything to be embarrassed about. We should just... We have to show them this is the ultimate lifestyle. Hare Krishna lifestyle is the ultimate lifestyle. So they all want to practice it also. If we feel embarrassed about our Hare Krishna lifestyle, how will they be attracted to doing it? I'm a Hare Krishna and I'm proud. Not of myself, but of this culture that Prabhupada has given. This is the most wonderful culture, this Vedic culture. I'm very proud of this Vedic culture. It is the culture which ruled this planet for millions of years, only until 5,000 years ago. For millions of years, the Vedic culture ruled the entire world from India. There were Indian kings who ruled this entire planet for millions and millions of years. And only 5,000, the last 5,000 years, which is just a flash compared to the millions of years before that, things have been disrupted with the advent of Kali Yuga. And it's predicted in the scriptures that there will be a 10,000-year period beginning with Lord Chaitanya's advent when this Vedic culture will become like a Satya Yuga again for 10,000 years. And we're at the beginning of that right now. It was that Satya Yuga, that golden era of Lord Chaitanya, was sitting in a seed-like condition in India for 5,000 years. And now Srila Prabhupada has brought it all over the world, and now it's up to us to revolutionize our countries, wherever we're preaching, to make a spiritual revolution, to convince everyone to be Krishna conscious. Yeah.
Even the atheists are attracted to this. Huh? Even atheists.
Atheists.
Are attracted to this movement.
Yeah.
In a couple of days, on the 19th, a friend of mine is going to come to the temple and he agreed to follow all the conditions to stay with devotees because he is so much attracted by devotees and he loves devotees. Yes.
He's an atheist.
He is an atheist.
Well, that's wonderful. Jai.
Yes, but I'm in a way scared whether if he is to follow all these rules, maybe he should have kind of a discount or maybe... We should be kind of lenient towards him.
No, there can be some leniency. Just consult with Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, Prabhupada said that such people, there's leniency in rules and regulations. First, engage them in doing what they like to do for Krishna, and then gradually introduce rules and regulations, Prabhupada said. Yeah. But if they're living here, they have to follow us. What we're doing, they can't do different things, you know. Can't bring in hamburger or something.
No.
Yeah.
He knows the rules.
Yeah.
Maharaj, I have two questions.
Okay.
One is, what is the characteristic that I have to...
Why is the what?
The characteristics.
Characteristic that I have
characteristics.
To,
characteristics.
That I have to put attention for to find in correct... spiritual master. This is
what are the characteristics to look for in a spiritual master?
I have to put attention.
That's stated in the Gravastakam prayers. We sing those every morning. You should look for... That's the characteristics to look for in a spiritual master. Let's give it in the Gravastakam. You can study those characteristics. And it is also stated that he is purely presenting the previous version, the teachings of the previous acharyas. He is strictly following the process of Krishna consciousness, and he is giving it exactly as given by Srila Prabhupada, you see, in the previous acharya. These are characteristics to look for. And he's an ocean of mercy. He's very kind also. Yeah. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
The second question is, you have only Grihastha's disciple, or you have Brahmachari?
Oh, I have all types. I have Brahmachari book distributors. I've got all kinds of disciples. I don't have any sannyasi disciples, but I have brahmacharis and grihasthas both. I can train someone in brahmachari life, how to be a good brahmachari. I lived as a brahmachari for 14 years, so I know very well what is a brahmachari life, what it means to be a brahmachari. Any other questions? Okay, stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.